North Rock Podcast.
Good morning, North Rock. You guys doing good today? Yeah, you guys look a little bit more awake than that 9 o'clock crew, so I appreciate that. Hey, how many guys, as you've gotten in here today, have been reminded of some very important eternal truths about your life? Isn't that the beauty of coming to church? Is that those rhythms of life, the things that kind of seem to grind us down, you guys know what I'm talking about? Those difficult circumstances, those challenges that we're facing, you know, the hustle and bustle and the pace of life that just tends to erode the faith that we have, right? Tends to just get our view of God a little bit distorted. Can anybody be real with me this morning? That we're facing some difficult things in this world, aren't we? You know, in fact, one of them that my wife and I are walking through right now is a little classmate friend of Cameron's. His name's Parker Sanchez. I wear his little Parker Strong bracelet here to remind myself to pray for him. That he and his family are in ICU at a children's hospital right now. He's got cancer, but he's got a brain bleed and a brain clot. And so those are those kind of heavy things that we walk around with every day. And, you know, and there's one way we can handle it as Christians and just go, everything's peachy keen. I don't struggle, right? No, we don't struggle. But then there's the other side of it, right? There's the truth of God's word side of it, right? How many of you guys this morning have been reminded that our God is a healer, and the moment he walks into a room, things change? That's the God that we worship here this morning. That's the God that we're talking about. That's the God that loves Parker Sanchez as the one, right? That's who he is. How many of you guys have been reminded that the only way that the greatest love story gets told in this world is if you and I go and tell it? That we live it out, that we show the love of God to every single person we run into, because the person we run into has a story. They've got a history, just like this church has a history, right? And that's why we started with that picture. Last week, I wanted to remind us that, hey, we have a heritage in Christ. That's not us by ourselves. We're not out in this alone. We're not just floating around in this atmosphere, but that we are sons and daughters of the Most High King. And no other way to say it. That's Jesus' words, right? When they came, remember the story in Luke chapter 8? And you know, Jesus' mom and his brothers are kind of in the crowd, and they're trying to find them. They're going, where did all these people come from? Because Jesus is rocking the place, right? He's healing people. Miracles are happening. He's preaching the gospel. He's telling people how to have new life. And his family shows up, and some of the disciples say, oh, hey, your family's here. And he responds to him by saying this. He says, my family, my mom, and my brothers and sisters are those that hear the word of God and practice it. Amen. That makes us family, church. Turn to somebody and say, we are family. Come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody's got to have some rhythm in this church, because I certainly don't. Right? I certainly don't. But that is the truth of what we experience here today, guys. We are not just a group of people that come to listen to people on stage and to sing songs. We're a church family. We're a spiritual family. We've been grafted together in Christ to walk through this world, okay? And so that's what we're talking about, is that we are part of the greatest love story ever told, that the next chapter, the next verse, the next book of God's greatest love story that was told through Jesus Christ happens through us by activating our faith and walking in that, right? But we've also acknowledged that there are some things in this world that try to warp and distort the way we see our Father in heaven. Right. Guys, remember, if you weren't here last week, we talked about Luke chapter 15 and the fact that the Father's heart is a generous one. That's a loving one, and that it's a giving one, right? And that we most represent him, and we remember that we're the one that he's still chasing after. Hey, just because you're in church doesn't mean God's love for you is diminished one iota, right? He loves us every bit as much as the ones that are out there right now running around the world, being the what I call the wandering wanderer and squanderer, right? You guys been in that season before? Okay. He loves us as much as he loves them. He loves them as much as he loves us. He loves us. And when we keep our eyes centered on him, when we can look at him with cross eyes, right? I know that's cheesy, but really that's the only lens that allows us to see the true heart of God, right? Is when we see God through our relationship with Christ and what he did on that cross, then we see him. Then we can accept him and go, oh, amen. Yeah, that's right. That is who I am. Now, let me just tell you this. As a guy standing on a stage talking to a bunch of people, we don't feel like that all the time, right? I don't feel like that. I don't feel like that. But I know it's true because God's word says it's true, okay? So we talked about all those things. And today, we're going to be talking about our family history. Okay, we're going to be taking some time just to give you a snapshot into the season of life that this church is in right now. Okay, as I come back after having been here 20 years and being removed for the last 5 years here, as I come back as the senior pastor of this church, I've been wrestling with this question, Lord, how do we continue to be faithful and fruitful with what you've been doing in this congregation? How do we continue to ride the wave that you have built to this point, but that we would also seize our season as a church, right? How many of you guys know that God didn't just bring us here to be comfortable? Too many lives are counting on us not to stay in our comfort zone, right? And when you look at some of the old pictures, this is a pretty comfortable setup. I remember that old warehouse. I remember the things we had to do to try to function as 300 people in that place. And there's so many fun stories that I'd like to tell today, but time won't allow for it. But this is what I did want to say. Number one, we are so blessed. Amen. We are so blessed. We are so blessed in this church with the leadership that God's given us. Started with Pastor Sam. You saw him on there. You may not have recognized him because he wasn't rocking that sweet mustache that he had in all the photos, right? But that was him. That was Pastor Sam, right? And I respect that man with all of my heart. I'm so thankful for the investment that he's made in my life and my family's life. I'm so thankful for the mentoring, the coaching, and the development that he has done in my life. But I'm more thankful for the seeds of faith that he planted in this church. This is a church that's always been about growing and sending leaders, right? We just did it. We're going to do it again. How many of you guys are so thankful for Tiffany? Oh, man, Tiffany rocks it. Tiffany is amazing, but Tiffany has a call to the mission field. And so we partner together to help her fulfill her greatest contribution to the kingdom. And in a few months, we're going to be talking about sending her and how we can continue to support her. But that's what we do. That's what church family does. We support and we send. We grow and we develop people, right? Okay, we reach people locally and globally. That's the mission of this church. That's what we do. So we do. We exist to reach those that have yet to come here. Have you guys ever really thought about that as a church? That the church really is the only membership that exists for those that aren't a member yet. Think about it for a minute, right? And the minute we start thinking, hey, it's about our internal benefits, we kind of lose the power and the purpose for why we exist, right? So we reach people locally and globally. We aim for excellence in attitude and effort, right? We create community at all kinds of different levels and groups and in teams and in classes so that we stir up the gifts that are in our midst, so that we stir up the gifts that God says that we have and that we are to one another as church family, okay? And then we extend grace around the world, right? That's what we do. We experience God and we extend his grace to those around the world. And don't even get me started. I mean, talking about our pastors, talking about some staffs that we've had, talking about the members and the people that have been here for that family reunion that have sacrificially given and served and loved and led in previous seasons. I tell you, I stand here today, you guys, and I am so thankful. I am so thankful for the church that we have here. I'm so thankful for what has been invested and the place that I stand. But I also feel that tug that I want to be a good steward with this season. How many of you guys know that we have to seize our season the way that they've seized theirs in the past? That is the job that we face. And I sense in the spirit, I sense from the Lord that we are at a precipice of breakthrough. I feel like we're right up against that and that there is a chance for us to take a quantum leap as a congregation forward toward the things that we've been working at, that in a moment that Jesus steps into it, it changes and it goes on to what it's supposed to be, okay? So Sam was here for 20 years and then Pastor Rick came, right? How many of you guys remember Pastor Rick? Okay, he wasn't here very long, but Pastor Rick was a man on a mission, right? God sent him to us for a very short period of time and he had a very short list of priorities. Right, I call it the 1-2 punch, right? He set up that combination. It was read the word and pray and read the word. And if you'll read the word and pray, then you'll read the word and pray and you'll understand what the will of God is, and thus Rick's message to us, right? I mean, you talk about just pure hilarity too. And what a great communicator. Sam was an amazing communicator. Rick was an amazing communicator. And that brings us to the previous 4 years of Jeremy being here, right? Jeremy's the kind of guy that when I was having a tough day, I'd call him just to hear him smile through the phone. Right? That was Pastor Jeremy, wasn't it? Hey, the way I describe it is he's the personification of love and kindness and compassion. That's what made Jeremy unique. That's what made Jeremy who Jeremy is, right? And I see in those seasons as I'm looking back and saying, okay, Lord, I know that where you want to take us in the future isn't going to look exactly like where we've been, but I do believe that there are seeds, that there's a DNA pattern that's been invested in us that I need to be aware of and that we need to lead well in, right? So I'm thankful that we're standing on the shoulders of giants, right? That we're building on the sacrifices that have been made before. And here's another one that I like to think about. How many of you guys are aware today that this whole Christianity idea didn't start here? Right? And that's just 25 years. It didn't start here. That people had to take risks and be God's family to extend around the world to where we have the opportunity to respond to the gospel here today. Okay? How many of you guys know that there's a season for everything in this world? Yeah. Right? You guys know we're in the middle of a changing season, aren't we? Okay, so I'm having to put out an internal memo. I meant to do it this week. I'll do it next week, Sean. The chonclas, the flip-flops, summer season's over, y'all. Okay? I know. Let's take a moment and grieve, right? I love them as much as you do, but it's fall, and you're going to be standing in snow in just a couple of weeks probably, right? That's what's going to end up happening. As seasons come and seasons go and seasons change, and that when seasons change, we've got to remain flexible. We've got to be willing to look to God for the next season that he's bringing. Amen? Well, you know, I found a great passage that we're going to turn to right now in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 3 of another situation. I love the letters that Paul wrote to the Corinthians because it seemed like they were in trouble all the time. I mean, they were doing their best, but they were jacking things up same way, you know, we can jack things up sometimes, right? And in it, he's addressing a season of change. He's addressing that they'd have multiple leaders that have kind of come through in the church, and some of the people in the church had kind of lost the vision, the mission, and the focus of who God is and what his church is designed to do, right? To be the greatest love machine, the love movement that this world's ever seen, right? And that's what we're designed to do. That's what's in us, right? And somehow they turned it into these little factions of Survivor Island, right? Right? So some of them are saying, no, I'm for Apollos, and no, I'm for Paul. No, I'm for Cephas, okay? And this is what he tells them about that, okay? So let's go ahead and read, and then we'll wrap up with just a few takeaways for the day, okay? So there's change in the air. And I'm just going to read a few verses that kind of set up what we're going to teach on today. And the first verse starts in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. And it says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. For in him we have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack. Say, you do not lack. Go ahead, say it to me. You do not lack any spiritual gift. Let's try one more time. Therefore, you do not lack. Okay, any spiritual gift. Good. As you eagerly await for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed, he will keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is faithful. Turn to somebody and say, God is faithful. God is faithful, who has called you into his fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, right? And then he goes on to address an atypical issue in a season of change in that particular church. Not that it would happen in this church, right? I mean, these are first century problems that Paul's addressing, not modern day Thornton, right? But he goes on to say, when change is in the air, people can get a little funky, right? We're uncomfortable. We're trying to get used to this new guy up on the stage, right? We're like, Now, that's not Jeremy. What is he doing, right? We're trying to get used to some of the changes in the environment that's different. In verse 10, this is what he says. He says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. Again, that call to family, right? There's that word of intimacy, not strangers, not crowds, but brothers and sisters. We got to catch that this morning, church. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household inform me that there are quarrels among you. In church? Come on now. Hey, can we be real? Can we be real for a minute? We got a lot of different people in this room, right? And it's nothing shorter of the miracle of the Holy Spirit that we like to come and be together in this place, right? There's no other reason we would do it, right? We just don't have enough in common outside of our allegiance and our connection as spiritual family in Christ, right? But just so you know, if you're new, you haven't been around here, sometimes we can quarrel. That's what brothers and sisters do, right? He says, Chloe's household has informed me that there are quarrels among you. And what I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. The other one says, I follow Apollos. The other one says, I follow Cephas. Another one still says, I follow Christ, right? And this is the question that Paul poses. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? Nope. And you think that should solve it, right? I mean, that should be the end of it. Well, it doesn't. Because in chapter 3, Paul comes back to that very same train of thought. In verse 3, he says, you are still worldly. For since there are jealousies and quarrels among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings, right? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow, right? No man can take credit for what God's doing in this church or this world, right? Only God gets that. Only God gets that, okay? And then he goes on in verse 7, says, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, right? But only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will be rewarded according to their own labor. Okay? For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field and God's building. By the grace that God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. Okay? For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that's already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? Everybody say, amen. Man, big inhale, big exhale. We're going to close up with three quick verses right here, okay? It says this. It says, so then, because that's true, right? So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ. And as those entrusted with the mysteries of God, mysteries God has revealed. And this is the final punchline. We heard God is faithful. Now it says, it's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful, right? That's my heart's cry for this church, that we would continue to be faithful. That we'd be a faithful people stewarding the message of God, stewarding the love among one another. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of good stuff in that passage, isn't there? But this is what we want. This is what I want to draw out this morning, okay? This one I draw out. That Paul's addressing the church. He's saying, I know that it was one way and it's changing. And he exhorts them, he encourages them, he redirects them to say, I want you to resist comparing leaders and competing with one another, right? Because the purpose that we serve is far greater. And when we abide in unity in a world that is at war with themselves, right? That's the world we live in. Wars, rumors of wars, everywhere you look, right? But when they can look in and see a love that's deeply embedded in a community of faith and a people that are unified and a people that are loving others, without anything to gain. That's what they do, okay? And this is what I want to say this morning. All of that just to say this. We stand in a season here as a church where I believe that God is calling us to move forward. He's calling us to not go back and do a grace remix, right? Some of us in this room would like a grace remix. Let's just be honest. Man, I like the way it was way, way back then, right? And some of us in here today are saying, I like Jeremy's rendition of North Rock or Rick's rendition of North Rock. But this is the spiritual principle that I think that Paul was trying to address in that church and what I think God's talking to us about today. Okay, take it for what it is, okay? This is it. When God adds a season to a season, it's always for the benefit. Amen. It's not for the loss, right? So it's our season to seize, but God is always interested in completing the work that he's doing, complementing the work that he's already done, and not competing with it. Does that make sense to you guys? That's exactly what I'm trying to say. So thanks for giving me the first 20 minutes to muddle around until I found what I wanted to say, right? And this is what I'm going to say, is I can't lead like Jeremy. My smile's not big enough, right? But I promise you I'm going to do my best to lead the way that God's called me to lead. Amen. And do the things that God's called us to do as a congregation, as a family of God, to see the message of Christ lifted up in this world, to see new churches started, to see missionaries sent overseas, to see people healed and delivered and strengthened. And when we as a church stand together to do that, the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. They won't. They can't. He's been given all authority, right? That is what we do, okay? That is what we do because we're his family. We wear his crest on our shirt, right? We got his blood flowing through our blood, right? That's where we come from. That's who we are, and that's what we do. We're about our Father's business, okay? So here's just a couple of quick takeaways, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to respond to the Lord for what he's doing in our hearts today, okay? Here's the first one that I see in the text that we look at today. One, we need to remember in seasons of change, right, not only to change our footwear, right, but we also have to remember that God ordains change, that it's his idea, that it's his plan, and that he knows exactly where we need to get to, okay? That he appoints leaders and he sovereignly guides his church, right? And here's the great part. He does it through people like us. Amen. He's entrusted the perfect to the imperfect as part of his message, that his Holy Spirit leads and guides through broken vessels, through people that are still trying to figure it out, right? That's what ministry is all about. That's what the church is supposed to be all about. Psalm 75, verse 6-7 says this, "No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. It is only God who judges. He brings one down, he exalts another. Seasons come and go, but he is constant." Okay, that's where it ended. I say seasons come and go, but he is constant. He's relentless in his love for people. Okay, so maybe this morning you're sitting in here today and you're saying, "That's not the God that I know. That's not the God that I see. That's not the God I've heard about," right? Can I just suggest that this world's scheme, this world's desire is to get us to mistrust who we know God to be. I mean, I'm just suggesting that maybe we don't see God as clearly as we need to some days because of the challenges that we face and the things that we walk through on this earth, okay? Second thing that we can take away this morning is that we remain faithful and fruitful by following God, not a person, not a persona, not a particular gift mix, right? Not Apollos, not Paul, not Cephas, not Sam, not Rick, not Jeremy, not Chad, right? Well, that last one's not a bad idea, but, right? No, we all follow God, and that's my commitment to you. Is I'm going to be on my face before the Lord. I'm asking you guys to pray for me that I would be faithful to the stewardship of what God's entrusted to me and that God would do the miraculous in our midst. Amen. Telling you guys, I'm not the pastor for you to play church. We're going to contend for God's throne room to come down. Yes, We're going to contend for people to be healed. We're contending right now for Parker to be healed. Would you guys pray with me for that? Would you lift up those prayers with me? Thank you. Thank you. The reason for our season right now is to complement what God's already done through Jeremy, what he's already done through Rick, what he's already done through Sam. But today is our day. So turn to somebody next to you and say, it's our turn, baby. And if you don't know that person that you just said baby to, apologize to them. And maybe look the other way, see if you get a more affirming smile out of it, okay? Or just say, it's our turn. I want to hear you guys say it. It's our turn. This is our season. And we're going to seize it, church. We're going to seize it, okay? So here's the last two, and then we're going to be out of here, okay? Number three is that God's committed to building his church. We talked about that, right? It's not my idea. It's his idea. It's what he said is going to happen, right? And this becomes our navigation, his Holy Spirit and his word would direct our steps as a church, right? That he's the master builder and that he's the cornerstone. It didn't start with Sam. It didn't start with me back in the day. It started with Jesus. And that's the cornerstone we're going to continue to build off here at North Rock. And that's why we've seen fruitfulness over these past years, right? And number four, we are stewards, or we are managers, or we are those that have been entrusted to manage the master's estate in his authority and in his name. So it's really easy for us as church-going folks, right, to believe that God's all-powerful, that God is all-willing to heal, that God is all-willing to save, that God is all-willing to forgive, that God is right. It's a little bit harder to say when we realize that his master plan is that we would be the agents that distribute his love to others and those messages of his hope. Right? And so we can continue to do the Western model, right, where we all come to church and the guy on stage is amazing and great and funny and all the things that we can be at times, right? Or we can believe God's word and say that the body of Christ in this church can be released into the world for all the relationships that God has sovereignly called you to live out, right? And my job is to be the cheerleader. My job is to be the coach. My job is to exhort and encourage and call out people to go big or go home for God. Right? Let's do it. Let's do it. God gave us his all. Let's give him back our all. Right? And finally, that's it. Let's seize our season. Let's bring the worship team up here. Don't you just love how pastors and preachers keep saying, and finally, and in closing, and in conclusion, and we got all the tricks, right? Let's just take a minute here. Let's do a little business with the Lord as they come up here to pray and to lead us out in worship. Same way we enter God's gates, we with worship, we leave. Built up as the body of Christ, right? And maybe you're here today. And you would say, Pastor Chad, I've never heard a message that I've been told that I'm the one. That God really loves me. Not just you, but he loves me. And that he sent his son to die for my sin. So that I could be set free, so that I could be healed, so that I could live the abundant life that Jesus affords us. If that's you here today, with everybody else's eyes closed, if you do me that request, would you just look up at me? Would you just raise your hand? My promise is never to embarrass you or to point you out or do anything of that sort, but I want you to point yourself out to God this morning. I want you to say, God, I hear you. I sense that you're calling me and that you love me and that you have better things for me than what I'm currently experiencing, both now and eternally. Yeah, I see you. Thank you, ma'am. Yeah, I see you too. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yes, I see you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, your word says that when we confess with our mouth and we believe with our heart that you are Lord, that you died on the cross for our sins and that you rose from the dead 3 days later to give us Holy Spirit power to live out this Christian life. Lord, that's my prayer for these brothers and sisters who've responded this morning. And maybe you're here today and you're in that season of this church's life and you're saying, things keep changing and new people keep coming in and man, they keep moving my stuff and changing the way I roll. Maybe we're here today and we're still grieving the loss of our good friend, Pastor Jeremy, who God has called to a different place now. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, would you heal our hearts? Would you help us to see your grand master plan in the way that you have sequenced our pastors to move forward in this season? And Lord, would you heal our hearts and would you help us to see that our eyes need to be on you? And that when we are unified, when we are of one mind as your body, we have an authority and a power in this world that no one has seen yet. Lord, unify our hearts. Help us to believe for your work in this place. Maybe you're here today and you're just saying, Pastor Chad, I don't know a lot about Christianity. I don't know about this whole church idea. But today, I'm committing myself to be a part of a spiritual family. And I'm going to move from being the core, I'm going to move from being in the crowd to saying this is where God's called me to serve and to love and to lead so that we can show God's love to this world. If that's you here today, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just move in your heart today, that he would encourage you, that he would help you to see how that works. And Father, as your family, Lord, we are not weak. Lord, your word told us. It says, we read it today. We read it today that you are all-powerful, that when you walk into the room, you heal, you deliver, you set the captives free. I pray in Jesus' name that would take place today in our hearts, in our lives, in all the situations that we lift up to you over these next weeks and days ahead. And so, Lord, we thank you that you love us so much that you sent your son. And because of that, we are your family. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.